Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Young takes the snap. He's back on a play fake, rolling to his right, looking, floats it back in the end zone. It is intercepted. Picked off by Jair Brown in the back of the end zone. And the 49ers defense redeems the offense. After Purdy throws a pick, Young throws one in the back of the end zone, and San Francisco says no, the 49ers have the football back.
Thank you to Westwood One. That was one of two Jair Brown interceptions. And yes, it was an interception fest. It almost felt like last night should have been a weather game, like a bad weather game. Yeah. Purdy threw three interceptions. Bryce Young threw two. But as far as we could tell, at least on TV, Pearl, balmy night in San Francisco. Weather was not to blame. Just you had some quarterbacks who were a little bit off.
Yeah, I mean, that was a tough one. I honestly thought in real time, can the NFL flex us after the first quarter? That was that particular play. Can you explain to me what Bryce Young saw? It felt like three Niners were on top of that ball. I couldn't figure it out. It was just everything about that play summed up what I think is wrong about Bryce Young. It's his inconsistency. You would have thought that he was ready to go. If you saw him at Alabama, you never would have expected this kind of up and down play, because last week he was awesome. This week he was not good. So it's just really hard to tell like who he is as a quarterback. And that's not what I expected at all. I knew he was small. We all knew. I thought he would be like Tua, where he'd be good, but he'd be an injury risk.
Sure.
That's not the case at all. One week he's good, one week he's bad. There's no rhyme or reason here. And the Niners defense is good, but they're not that good.
They
got
made
the ball.
Look,
yeah, you got the ball at the 13-yard line. Punch the ball in.
I know. They made him look really good last night. I do think the 49ers are doing a lot with a little, though, to be fair. Robert Saleh is getting a lot of praise. You know, I think he probably deserves it when you lose Warner and Bosa and you're still able to be this good. But again, like what this inconsistency from Bryce Young in the offense for Carolina last week, they put up 400 yards of passing offense. And then this week it was such a struggle, just felt like to get a first down. I mean, let alone get over midfield. And not to dwell too much on Carolina because there's a lot going on with this team. But this was not a blowout, okay? Brock Purdy was keeping Carolina in the game because of the interceptions in the first half. It ends up being a 20-9 was the final score. Again, not a blowout, even though San Francisco seemed like they were in control. Why did Carolina go away from the run? Rico Dowdle is the best thing to happen to this offense, and unexpectedly is having this incredible season. Even, you know, he's a little banged up, I guess. But it felt like it was maybe an hour of real time where Rico Dowdle did not touch the ball in the second half. Like, you weren't down four touchdowns. You didn't need to be throwing on every down.
Well, they put in Chuba Hubbard, too, which
and
I
he only
find
had three
annoying.
Carries.
I mean, you're trailing 17-3. Every coach, right, is his instinct is, I got to throw the ball. But you're right. I mean, also, they couldn't really get the Niners off the field because it kept, for example, that first drive of the game. I mean, how many little. If I'm the defense, I am creeping up, up, because you knew the Niners, all they had was a short passing game, right? There was absolutely no chance they were going to do anything down the field. And when they did throw the ball down the field, it was usually an interception. So I felt like the Niners were kind of impotent on offense.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not a good word to use. But generally, they were doing nothing. The Carolina should have just realized we got to get the ball out of their hand. They were kind of giving them first downs. So that's how they kept the ball out of Dallas, because the Niners had some massive long drive.
They did. And it was a stark difference for Carolina. Anyway, this was a tough spot here for the Panthers. They're now 6-6. Had a chance to take the lead in the NFC South. believe it or not, with Baker Mayfield now as a banged up non-throwing shoulder. Couldn't do it. And last night showed just not ready for prime time either. You know, just really, really tough. They also lost two corners in this game. One is J.C. Horn, who obviously is amazing. And he was vomiting on the sideline after he got a big hit and then was being evaluated for a concussion. So is that it for J.C. Horn for the season? I mean, you have to wonder.
Also, the sideline reporter said he came back in at one point. Yeah. That was
disturbing. What are we doing here? Where's that independent neurologist person?
He's a great player who just has not been able to stay healthy. By the way, back to that Niners drive. Their first drive was 8 minutes and 43 seconds. Then in the third quarter, their first drive was 7 minutes and 43 seconds. Then they had a 6-minute drive and another 7-minute drive. That's how you keep the ball out of Rico Dowdle's hands. I kind of blame Carolina for that because they should have just set the house after Brock Purdy on every single play. They kept letting McCaffrey chip down the field. It was kind of it didn't make for good TV. Can I ask you a question about McCaffrey?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think he's as explosive this year. I really don't think he's not super scary to me. I feel like back 4 years ago, some of those runs would have been bigger runs. He's only averaging 3.7 yards per carry, a career low. I feel like, you know, you mentioned they're probably using him too much. I just don't think he's quite, it kind of reminds me of Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry this year. I think he's just a little bit slower than he was. He's 29 now. And I'm not saying he's hit a cliff at all, but he's still fantastic.
Right.
But I don't know that he's the home run threat that he used to be, which kind of defines where the Niners are a little bit. I feel like they have to be creative to get him the ball in space. Back in the day, he might break a 75-yarder. Now, it didn't seem like that was a real thing.
Well, I think it kind of goes hand to hand with a question that I was asking earlier about whether 49er fans are frustrated with Kyle Shanahan that the workload for McCaffrey is still so big.
Yeah, it's high.
Really high. Last night, 30 touches. I mean, you had 23 carries. I believe it was 23 carries and 7 catches. And, you know, it's not like, guys, it's not two-hand touch out there. Like, he's going to get popped a little bit when he's out in the open field. And he's a strong guy, so don't get me wrong. But this wear and tear builds. And I mean, if you're going to make the playoff, you have 8 wins. You look like you're a playoff. You have a playoff record, but you don't really look like a playoff team, in my opinion, or a ferocious one. But with McCaffrey, like, he's your best shot. You're right. They do the ball control thing. You don't have to rely on Purdy necessarily. You can give the defense a chance to rest because they're missing so many guys. Like, McCaffrey is so the key to all of this.
Yeah.
Brian Robinson can't finish this game out for you last night on those final two drives? Like, why not?
I don't know. I mean, you're not going to bring any guys. You definitely don't want to fumble. So McCaffrey's also super safe with the ball. I kind of get that.
Who cares if they fumble? The Carolina Panthers couldn't do anything on offense. You said it yourself.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was basically close to a one score drive. I mean, you can't mess around. 29, it wasn't 41-7. A few years ago when they made the Super Bowl in Vegas, Christian McCaffrey averaged 5.4 yards per carry. He was electric that season. This season, it just feels like, okay, he is a safety valve on a screen pass, another first down, 11 yards. Last night was really hard to watch, I thought, for both sides. Niners played the game they were in, so I'll give them credit for that. We'll see. And they're going to do that again. Cleveland this week, you know, what's the one thing you want to avoid against Cleveland? Getting your quarterback killed by Myles Garrett is going to be the most conservative approach. So they're probably going to lean on McCaffrey again.
Yeah, so let's get into that. You're welcome to call in about the 49ers. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Are you worried about Christian McCaffrey's workload? And also, are the 49ers a Super Bowl contender? We have that poll up there for you. Not looking. Early returns, not. No bueno.
Yeah, 71% say no right now.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm surprised there's 29% who think they are. I'd like to hear from you.
Well, it's still early in California. So, okay. Next opponent for the 49ers. Of course, it's the Cleveland Browns. So, you got Shador Sanders, Pearl, coming off of the big dub down in Las Vegas with Deion in the house. And Shador basically, you know, kind of called his shot before the game. And after the game, I'm built for this, you know, and I've been, okay, so a couple questions. One, do you think Shador can have another good game? Like, it wasn't great, but he had a good game. It definitely looked promising, that's for sure. A week of practice, he had never practiced with the ones before, and if that's what you're going to give, even against a hapless Raiders team, at least you can feel a little bit good about it. Here's what I was thinking last night. I've been all over the fact that I think Cleveland would use Shador as trade bait. right? The idea that even if he plays well, they're going to have these high picks. They have the Jaguars pick. They've got their own pick next year, and that they would likely take another quarterback.
Cleveland!
And then I was thinking about this. Think about the graveyard of Cleveland QBs, right?
Yep.
Nobody can go there and succeed, it feels like. Is Shedeur Sanders actually the perfect guy for Cleveland? He seems blissfully unaware of all the pass failures. Couldn't care, does not think that the Browns, the stink and stench of the Cleveland Browns and their woes on offense, I think he really believes, Pearl, that he's the guy to turn that around.
They've had 35 quarterbacks. All of them were losers.
And it's not like Johnny Manziel, where Johnny came in with the utmost confidence, right? But he had all the demons. Like, we know now Johnny was not taking this seriously at all. He was, you know, not being present. He was partying way too much.
Not turning on the tablet.
Didn't turn the tablet on. He's jetting off to Miami on every off day. Like, Johnny, to me, kind of reminds me of Shedeur, of how much confidence they have. But Manziel was not serious. He had confidence, but was not serious about actually being a professional. Shedeur seems like he is serious about being a professional. Is Shedeur actually the perfect guy to break this sort of Cleveland, you know, the futility of Cleveland quarterbacks because he has so much internal confidence?
I don't know. I mean, Baker has more confidence than any human being on the planet.
That's not his fault. The organization messed up on that. He actually won them a playoff game, and they got him out of there.
Yeah, I just feel like he was definitely trending downward toward the end in Cleveland. He had a bad last year. I think that organization can mess up anybody, and I like your thinking there. Like, you're looking for a silver lining here, but no, I'd be shocked if Shedeur Sanders was the quarterback that could solve all this. Shocked.
Yeah, listen.
It's not even on Shedeur. I'm just saying the team around him is always, they're going to screw it up. It's the Browns.
No, I know. See, that's the thing. It's like he's got so much working against him because the Browns are so inept and always seem like they're making the wrong decision. But at the same time, he is one of the most unique prospects that we've had because of Deion. Like, I think that's it. It's even more different than Arch, I guess. I think it's because he is so like Deion in some ways. And I think that's what rubs people the wrong way. He talks like Deion when he has not had the career of Deion, right? Like, he talks with this confidence, but it doesn't feel like he's earned it at the pro level. And that, I think, bothers people. I'm wondering if this is exactly what Cleveland needs. Someone who thinks they're so good that even the Browns, like, can't, the generational, organizational dysfunction of the Browns, like, can't touch them.
Imagine, you know what a full offseason looked like.
This dude's talking like, you know, it's Babe Ruth calling the shot almost.
Yeah, I mean, I go by like, how come Baker didn't work? This team will ruin anything. I just don't think also he's, 24, 25 right now. He's going to be in his second year. They're going to draft a quarterback. Just logistically, I don't see how this happens. How they're not going to, I mean, unless he lights up the night for the next five games, which is possible. They're playing some bad defenses. I can't see how this actually plays out. Everything you say makes sense, but the logistics of Shedeur Sanders winning that job and starting week one next year and then being good on that team with that offense and the line and the receivers around him, I can't wrap my head around that at all. Can you see that in your mind's eye, that actually happening?
You know, I kind of feel like if anyone could do it, he could.
You know,
and maybe, you know, listen, the Browns messed up. I think they obviously should have kept Baker Mayfield, right? Like, I think part of the reason why he had a bad last season is because he was hurt. He had the shoulder injury that he has now, actually. It's like that non-throwing shoulder. Deshaun Watson came in and was terrible. And he got hurt all the time. I wonder if the Browns at least would not make that mistake again. If they noticed and they realized they have something in the building, you don't just jettison it.
For a shiny object
of a draft pick or something.
See, that's the thing. I don't think Mayfield was going to do anything in Cleveland.
He already had done more for them than any other Cleveland Browns quarterback outside of Bernie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that Cleveland's in any better spot if they'd kept, it was 2021, if they'd kept him, I don't think it would have made a difference. It's Cleveland. I mean, they've had a lot of things go wrong since Baker was in the building. And by the way, the market spoke on Baker. Baker couldn't even find a team. You know, I don't think the market was wrong. I think you're underestimating the impact of being on the Browns. Even with this confidence, it might not be enough.
I don't know. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Is Shador actually the perfect person to try to get the Browns out of this decades-long funk at quarterback.
A win is crazy.
And then I was thinking about this. Think about if this does become like a Shador, like this amazing story with the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what the origin story is going to be here. He chose Cleveland. Remember, like the story is Shador dropped in the draft, 100%, day three pick, thought he was going to be a first-round pick. He messed up the pre-draft process. That doesn't go away. But Ravens wanted him, Eagles wanted him. And allegedly, Dion said no, because they didn't want him sitting behind franchise quarterbacks where he would have no path to play. And I think that if Shador ends up becoming the Browns quarterback of the future, that aspect of it is going to get played up. He wanted this. He wanted all the bad things that come with the Browns. Shador was not scared of any of it. Dion wasn't scared of any of it, whatever you want to say. Mm. And they wanted this.
Do you think that the owner, Jimmy Haslam, you know, he's obsessed with the Mannings, right? Do you think he calls his buddy Peyton and says, hey, if Arch comes out this year, we'll take him in number five? How about that? And then you have a Manning and a Sanders there, and Johnny's a millionaire. That would be wild.
Yeah, see, I think it's... I don't know why the Mannings... Will. The Mannings are so about, at least the history would tell you, they're so about going to the perfect situation in the pros. Eli couldn't go to the Chargers, had to go to the New York Giants.
Right.
Peyton Manning didn't want to go to the Jets, went back to Tennessee, then goes to Indianapolis.
Omaha!
You're telling me that the Mannings are now saying, you know what? Cleveland, the place for Arch. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
No, I didn't say the Mannings. I said Jimmy Haslam would call them. I do think the Browns are going to have big plans at quarterback in the offseason. I don't know what they are exactly. I think they try and trade up, or they try and convince Arch to come out. I think they're going to try something. I don't think it'll work. I think Arch is going back to Texas. But I don't think they're going to settle. I mean, they don't even want to play Shador now. They didn't even name him the starter after last week. I think that they have another ace up their sleeve, or they're going to try something big at this draft. Unless, I mean, Shador could, I guess, win this job for next year, but think about it. They're going to probably bring in a rookie, and they're probably going to have to commit hard to that guy. So that would put Shador as a backup. So how is he going to do all this as a backup?
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. EJ, can we put that poll up? Is Shador Sanders actually the perfect person to get the Browns out of their quarterback funk?
Because it gets dangerous.
It's like, I think if you ask Shador, like, you know, do you guys remember that movie? It was not a good movie. It was called Shallow Hal.
I loved that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my mom loves that movie too. It's a Stewart family
okay.
favorite.
I kind of liked it.
It wasn't great.
Farrelly Brothers.
Even
a bad Farrelly Brothers movie is still awesome.
Exactly.
Okay, pardon me. I watched it one time. Maybe I need a rewatch.
Not a fan.
Come on.
Not a fan.
I don't know.
Jack
Jason
Black.
Alexander had a tale.
Important lessons in that movie.
Right. That's what I'm getting to. That's what I'm getting to. So in Shallow Hal, obviously, like, he thinks his girlfriend looks like Gwyneth Paltrow. And in reality, she is not Gwyneth Paltrow. She looks a lot more ordinary, right? And
that's a shame.
I think that's like Shador with the Browns. I think everybody sees the Browns as like the ugly friend. And I think Shador sees them as like a 10 out of 10 supermodel. And you can't pierce it. Like, he has these glasses on where he sees the Browns as this, you know, supermodel franchise. And everyone else looks at the Browns like, ugh, your career's going to die there. And he sees it as like, I'm taking her on the red carpet. I love it. I think this is what's going on. And maybe he's the perfect guy. And I think it has more to do with Shador. Like, he thinks anywhere he is the spot.
But I think that's become kind of a recent look at it. Because remember, during that draft process, he apparently didn't take interviews seriously with certain teams. And I assume one of them was the Browns. Like, I assume during that early, because they were one of the teams that were drafting high that needed a quarterback in theory, and they waited all the way until the fifth round to take him. So it seemed like he either wanted to go to the Raiders or the Giants, and he blew that interview with the Giants. So
yeah.
Thank God.
Maybe, I don't know if that's always how he's seen this. I think he's seen this as an opportunity. I think when things got bad and he kept falling, he's like, well, I can't go to the Ravens or the Eagles. They got entrenched quarterbacks. Look, this is a place I really didn't want to go there, but at least they have no quarterback in place that I can't beat out. I think that's how he looked at it. I think he looked at it as an opportunist, and it was smart, maybe.
Yeah, well, actually, probably should have gone to the Eagles now that you look back on it.
I mean, could have gone to the Ravens. He would have played.
I mean, yeah. I crushed him for that. I thought he should have taken the job at one of those teams. But, I mean,
yeah, learn from a franchise QB as opposed to being in a quarterback room with Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, and Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, but he is now playing, he does have a shot. My only question with him being the perfect guy is, well, who's his Travis Hunter? Because I think, to me, that's the only way this thing's going to work. Is he needs to have a pass catching or some kind of great running back in the backfield to be his partner in crime. The thing at Colorado worked because he had a Heisman Trophy winner playing on the outside.
Okay, but EJ, if I'm an NFL team, I feel like it's a much easier assignment to find wide receivers and running backs than it is quarterbacks. Like, we get tons of them coming out of the draft every year. Those two spots, I feel like, should be, in theory, the easiest to upgrade. And I know it's not always easy. Hell, look at my team. Buffalo Bills can't find a receiver. But
retweet.
They should be able to find a receiver and running back. And you do have Judy.
Yeah, I mean, Judy. I mean, yeah, but that's my thing is I'm talking about right now. Like, he's playing, right? He doesn't have until next year to figure out, oh, I'm going to prove. Like, this is his tryout. This is his audition. Is Jerry Judy going to be his Travis Hunter for these next 4 or 5 weeks?
He's like, got to stop dropping the – or whatever, allowing the – Raiders right. to punch the ball out.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, like, that's what my concern is. Does he have enough talent around him to actually consistently play well?
Seems to like Harold Fannin.
Oh, yeah, he does. I picked him up on my fantasy team.
Yeah, I know.
That's your Travis Hunter right there.
No, he's got Gage Larvadan, guys.
Excuse me?
Man.
What a hell of a name. Gage Larvadan is the guy who he was, like, practice squad with. Or not practice squad, yeah. Scout team.
Preseason. Remember, they were hooking up in the preseason left and right.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I mean, the Browns. But still, I would if I had to bet money, I would bet the Browns draft a guy and then they'd hope that Watson gets back. Because I think they could also commit to that. They seem to like that guy as well, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, what are you going to do when he comes back?
I'll believe that when I see it. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Is Shedeur Sanders actually the perfect guy to break this horrible... I'm going to say streak, pearl, curse, whatever you want to say.
This 1 week of practice.
Of terrible Browns quarterbacks. We've got lots more to do, including Lane Kiffin. We've got some updates on Lane. And, of course, Maggie and Perloff's big moment on campus comes to you in just moments. Sit tight.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. So I'm still confused by this poll. Are the 49ers a Super Bowl contender? 71% last update said no. So 29% think this is a Super Bowl contender. I really don't see it. They're about to go 10-4 because they have Cleveland and Tennessee next. So usually you say a 10-4 team with an all-time coach is a Super Bowl contender. I just don't know if they have the wide receivers. If when push comes to shove, they're going to have enough defensive playmakers. I do not quite understand how anybody, the 29%, view them as the Niners as a Super Bowl threat, but I'd love to hear it.
I'm kind of surprised they're 6.5-point favorite on the road in Cleveland.
Cleveland?
No, I know. Cleveland is not good, but a little different with Shador. And obviously, Myles Garrett is going for the sack record. So
how are they a little different with Shador?
I don't know.
I don't think Dylan Gabriel would have won.
I'm sorry,
that game.
It opened at 6.5. Now it's down to 6. So people are slightly betting the Browns.
I mean, I think Dylan Gabriel would have won that game, too. Gabriel had a big win as well against a bad team.
I think the Browns might be a little bit of a different team at home. Obviously, the Packers found that out the hard way, but that was a long time ago. 888-710 for ISN earlier in the year. Let's hit our pal Kevin, who's in San Antonio, coming off the big reunion, Kevin.
40-year
high school reunion, all the beautiful women there.
Yeah, I sent you some more pictures. I didn't, when I started to send pictures, I said, well, let me go ahead and think about Maggie. I'm going to go ahead and send pictures to both and Perloff and so forth. And I want you to do me a good favor. Wear a Victor Wembanyama jersey.
Oh, Pearl. Wembanyama jersey?
I mean, yes. That kid's going to cost me a pretty penny, though, Kevin.
Well, you could buy a T-shirt.
Oh, like a cheapie. Okay. All right. I could do that.
Okay. Now, let's go back to the sports. Now, for the 49ers, I'm kind of scared about McCarthy because he's injured prone. Now, if you're going to weigh him down to the ground, you can wear him down to the ground. He gonna retire and then make commercials and so forth. You know.
No, listen, Kevin. I think it's a legit concern. I 30 carries last night to close out the game against Carolina. 30 touches, excuse me. I thought was a little much, but I'm sorry. So Kevin sent us all these photos from his high school graduation. They're great. One of them says, "This is the in the email, Pearl, with a picture." Of Kevin says, "I don't chase women; women chase me." Rare.
Wow. Right there.
Hey, Kevin, can I also ask you another question? So you send us pictures of your breakfast every morning. Now you've also started to bake. Saw the chocolate cake look delicious. Are you doing a full Thanksgiving, or what's the deal with that?
No, I might be with family and so forth. And, I cooked a small breakfast today. I just, like, it was just like bacon and eggs. And that was it, you know. So, you know. One day in the future, I might cook a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, but not now. Your family will take care of it.
Not now.
All right. You know what you could do, Kevin? Thank you for the call. We also heard you got a birthday this week, so happy birthday to you. These women are smoking hot. Are you single? You got to check out the. I mean, I'm not trying to call attention to like any individual person, but Kevin's high school reunion was popping.
Evaluate what is going these on women? With you and these women at Kevin's high school reunion? Are you their agent or something?
No. Evaluate these women?
Pearl, it's just
you
they're all
how attractive
surrounding
they are.
Him, yeah. Like, in a way, you know?
Can we get them with Manny?
It's the 40th high school reunion, folks.
Can Manny be picky?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Manny and Kevin being a buddy movie romance.
Big friendly would be so jealous, though.
Oh, that's true, too.
Yeah.
Can we get those three together somehow?
Look out, ladies.
All right, well, maybe these beautiful women have beautiful daughters
for
Manny.
You want to go where the women are.
Yeah. Well, that's better off.
Got to smell good.
Got to get within smelling range.
Be in smelling range.
I jumped it. Kevin, cinnamon-flavored pancakes this week with bacon.
Can I ask a quick question? Off on the call screen, it said the Niners are due a rebuild. They are I'm looking at the age of their players. They are ancient, like decrepit old. I forgot Trent Williams, 37. Kittle's in his mid 30s.
They just
Juszczyk's
re-signed
34.
Him. They just re-signed Kittle.
Juszczyk's 34.
Yeah.
They are, and McCaffrey, you can see McCaffrey slowing down in real time. Like, none of these guys are going to be there in 2 years. So what is happening to this franchise? Actually, not to scare you.
No, they got rid of guys in the offseason. Remember that?
They actually got rid of Juszczyk, and then like they changed their mind and brought him back.
Yeah.
They cut him.
They must have the most 30-plus starters. I guess the Commanders have a lot, too, because they built the team. Warner just turned 29 last week. Bose is 28, coming off multiple injuries. This is actually kind of a bleak scene, if you look at it. Because obviously Trent Williams is amazing, but he can't play till he's 100. So what are they going to? What's happening to this franchise? Is this like a all-in year? Didn't look like it last night.
You're looking at me funny.
I think
they're playing the season that they're in, right? Like, yeah, they're obviously going for it. They've got a super expensive quarterback. Yeah. They've got Christian McCaffrey. They gave more money to. This is you're looking at a go for it season. The problem is that the Rams and the Seahawks look a little more go for it. Definitely the Rams.
I think they go for it just out of necessity. Obviously, when you lose Nick Bosa, your best defensive player, that doesn't feel like a go for it season. But I don't know if they have a choice. And I noticed it last night, and I think you were pointing to do it. McCaffrey is really, really good, but is he Christian McCaffrey of 2 years ago?
Well, they're running him like he is. He's leading the league right now in rushing attempts with 217 on the season through 12 games. He's leading the league in receiving in receptions with 81 on 103 targets. He's leading the league in touches, period, at 298. And he's leading the league in yards from scrimmage at 1,581. They are treating him like this is not a guy in his ninth season.
This to me speaks to like the desperation of the week-to-week process of coaching and managing a team in the NFL. Because in theory, Christian McCaffrey is going to be there next year or maybe the year after that. This is a good Niners team, but with all the injuries, I think we all agree that they're probably not a Super Bowl team. You would think that maybe you'd be more cautious with McCaffrey the rest of the way, knowing that, hey, if we make the playoffs, great, we'll make some noise, but let's not run him into the ground, because maybe next year is our year where we really go for it, where we get some younger guys and we flip this roster over a little bit. But they're not thinking like that.
No.
I think that they felt like after last season how bad it went, they couldn't afford another 7 or 8 win season. So now you have CMC taking all these carries and all these hits. I wonder what he's going to be like next year.
Well, I mean, if they're smart, don't you move off McCaffrey at some point? I hate to be Belichickian, but at a certain point, he's going to be a 30-year-old running back. I don't know what the analytics say on that, but it can't be ideal.
Well, Pearl, they keep paying him. What are you possibly going to get for Christian McCaffrey? It's not going to be anywhere near what you traded to get him.
I mean, I don't know in the next 3 years how much they're really going to have to commit. I mean, I'm not saying trading him. I'm saying cutting him at some point.
So meanwhile, right now, if the playoffs started today, San Francisco would have the 7 seed, but there's still Detroit behind them. Dallas is behind them. So if you think those are playoff teams, and if you don't think Detroit's going to come back and win the division and they're going to be a wild card team, then this is going to be dicey here for San Francisco. They're in a dogfight. Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got headlines on this very busy Tuesday.
And these headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com.
Whoop.
Let's check in with the Westwood One radio booth for Monday Night Football. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I believe in his debut, joining Ryan Radke for Niners Panthers. And Fitz worked his magic in the wrong direction for Brock Purdy.
Purdy is aggressive down the field. If they get a chance, they got to take him. I can't imagine that he's going to put another one in harm's way the rest of the game.
Second down, 8 for the 49ers. Clock moving, 6:35 to go. Second quarter, 7-0 San Francisco. Two receivers right, single man left. Robinson in motion from left to right. Purdy gets the snap. He's back, fakes the handoff, plants his feet. Time, looking, throws down the middle of the field. Intercepted again! It's the third of the game! The second for Horn, who races out of bounds on the far sideline.
That's what you call an announcer's jinx.
Yep. Purdy 3, first half INTs, but the Panthers only turned them into 3 points. Oof. Purdy played safe in the second half. Christian McCaffrey ran for a score, and the Niners pulled out a 29 win. McCaffrey asked postgame if he had any message for his QB after that third pick.
It's like, if I make a mistake, I know I make a mistake. Or if I have a drop, I know, you know, somebody says catch the ball, it's like, makes you want to knock them out. You know, it's like, you know, those aren't... there's not really nothing to say. You just keep on playing.
Playing against his former team for the first time, CMC ran for 89 yards, caught 7 passes for 53 more, his 10th game this season with over 100 scrimmage yards. The Panthers began the night tied with the Bucs atop the NFC South. Now they're second in the division and 9th in the conference. Justin Tucker works out for the Saints today. It's his first workout since his 10-week suspension ended. The former Raven, as you may remember, accused by multiple massage therapists of sexual misconduct. Shohei Ohtani will play for Japan again in the World Baseball Classic in March.
Least surprising news of the day, Ezra.
NBA last night, just 17 points for Nikola Jokic, but he did have 16 assists.
Back over to Joker. He's guarded by Aldama. 5 on the clock. He gets a behind-the-back pass over to Peyton Watson. You gotta be kidding me!
Jason Kosmiski, Nuggets Radio. This spinning behind the back bounce pass helping Denver close out a 125-115 win in Memphis.
That guy's a freak.
The Piston win streak is up to 13, tying the franchise record after a 122-117 final in Indiana. On the flip side, the Pelicans snapped their nine-game skid, 143-130 over the Bulls. Zion scored 29. Wow. Anybody want to guess how many rebounds he had in this full night's effort?
Three.
I heard three.
I'm going lower. One, based on your intonation.
One is correct. He played a full NBA game, scored 29 points, and had one rebound.
So he must be 6'1" and play guard, right?
Or scoring from half court. I don't understand how this happens.
He's not that much taller. I don't know how tall you think he actually is.
He's like 6'9", 6'10", is he not?
No, he's only like 6'7".
Really?
I don't even think he's that. He's like a Charles Barkley kind of lied about his height kind of guy.
Somebody get basketball reference up.
But bizarre, give me his combine measure.
Of all the things we talk about with Zion, and there's other things that make more sense, like the injuries and all that, like the fact that he's such a terrible rebounder is weird.
Yeah, it's funny that you went to Barkley there. You're like, he's about Barkley's height. I'm like the guy who was known for rebounding.
Yeah, one of the best rebounders. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he reminds me a lot of Barkley, except for the rebound. Like the fact that he's the round mound kind of super, super... What was it? A dancing bear kind of thing. Mm.
The basketball reference has Zion 6'6", 284.
So he's 6'3".
Yeah. 6'6", 284.
Yeah, he did not measure at the draft combine, so we'll never actually know what his real height is, I guess.
284 is bananas.
And I hate these sentences, but I'm going to say one here. I feel like all of us could accidentally get two rebounds in an NBA game if we were out there.
Not true.
I agree.
Yeah, why not? Long rebound? Yeah, comes out long, right to you?
There's exactly. So many threes that are shot now.
You're not fast enough to beat a professional athlete. It would have to literally come right to you.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
If it's a long rebound and it's kind of up for grabs.
There are games where there are 100 threes taken. Yes, I think you'll get lucky.
Yeah.
And now scoring, that's a whole different thing.
Right. Yeah. Scoring, I think a rebound, just being on the weak side for a carom or something long out of the free throw line, if I'm out there, I can get you two rebounds.
Jose Alvarado can grab two rebounds a game, and he's like 5'8". He's like my height.
I think you would be able to score because they wouldn't cover you, so that you'd be standing alone.
Oh, I couldn't hit it, though. But
maybe you don't need to defend me. The problem is getting the ball in the basket, bro.
I think that you'd have nobody on you, clearly.
Yeah, that's not good enough.
Bro, do you think you could score in an NBA game? You actually played basketball at some level.
Absolutely. I totally think I could. I mean, I assume there's going to be, my guy is going to be covering somebody else if he has any brains.
I'll tell you what, when I sat with Perloff at the Knicks game, just the physicality of, this is a regular season game. The physicality in the paint made me think like, nope, I want none of this. I want no smoke. I mean, Jalen Brunson is being just hounded by Kelly Oubre, who's 6'7", grabbing him, holding him. And I'm like, I don't know how this guy does anything.
Yeah.
He's a wizard. Like, I don't know how anybody scores in the NBA. These guys are so big and so athletic. It's crazy.
Pearl, what would be your move to go get those 2 points or even 3 points?
I'm standing 20 feet away from the basket all alone.
I thought you were going to give me something. Move. I thought you were going to give me something more spicy. You know, like a dream shake, low post, low block, dream shake. Give me some.
Andrew Perloff, God Sham God over here.
I mean, I feel like I would not do anything where don't hold the ball for more than a half a second because they will fly and block the shot. Right.
Definitely.
Block mine, maybe not yours. You're 6'10".
I was thinking about this. So of all the sports that you could possibly play, what is one where a non-athlete could come in and do anything? I think it's got to be like golf, something where there's not a defender.
God, we are so far away from pro golfers.
No, I get that. Yeah. I'm just saying there can't be one where, you know, where a defensive end is, you know, bearing down on us. That's not going to work. Can't be basketball.
But have a kicker?
I don't know, dude.
Tried to make a field goal?
I might make a short one.
You think college game day? Those kids can't kick when it comes to Pat McAfee.
I know.
Trying to, you know, give him some money and try to make a kick.
McAfee gives them 100 chances.
Yeah, now they're getting all these ringers. Before, you couldn't be allowed to have previous soccer or kicking experience, and now they have kids that are hiring other kids to kick for them so they can make these field goals.
I know. Everyone understands the assignment. They just want to see the field goal go through.
Oh, I like to see the kids miss sometimes.
Special teams.
Give me a little drama. I don't want to see the guy that kicked in his high school make a 10-yard field goal.
I'm just also thinking like ping pong, no. Swimming, no.
Frisbee. Ultimate frisbee.
I think I could survive an inning at second base.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
But think about it. Could die.
No, fair enough. I think I'm good enough to avoid the death.
I don't know if you are.
Go to shallow right.
Yeah,
but you know how back those guys are now.
No, I and they're
it's
they're,
coming off the bat 100 miles an hour. You don't have a prayer.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't.
I mean, but then you're just hoping a prayer now. There's no.
Yeah, I mean, I said I survive an inning. Like,
really?
I maybe
have to
the
be
ball.
Scared of the left-handed hitters. Nobody, a right-handed hitter is not gonna.
Well,
kill
you. Say that to Giancarlo Stanton, who got an exit velo of like 115. That comes right out of your face. But I bet Bogus is dunking
the second baseman.
Yeah, when's the last time Stanton feel that anyway?
They wouldn't even play a second baseman if they were allowed.
He's late on some pitches, and he'll drive one right into the dirt at second base.
I can't think of a sport. Like, I'm telling you, if we sat out there to try to return a serve from the 500th ranked person in the world, you wouldn't even touch the ball. Like, there's not tennis, like, there's nothing. There's not one thing.
Well, there was that one rich guy who got into that tennis tournament by just paying his way in.
Oh, Bill Ackman, right?
Maybe, I don't know, but he got his derriere handed to him.
I remember Billy Crystal, the actor, got an at-bat at a Yankee spring training, and Paul Mahalam, who did... struck him out on three pitches.
Who's the number one female tennis player in the world right now?
Anybody? Sabalenka, right?
Iga Swiatek.
Do you think you think you can get a point off of her?
No.
All right. How about today's Billie Jean King?
No.
What does that mean?
Like Billie Jean King, 80?
Like 70-year-old, 80-year-old.
Oh, not
like
Billie
Jean King. Like Billie Jean King. Maggie is across
from
her.
First of all, the intimidation factor off the charts. Secondly, no, absolutely not. But I'm aware.
Faith.
Anyway,
bring back pros versus Joes. I keep saying that on this show.
It was a good show.
This is why we talk it. We don't do it. 888-710-4ISN. I'll speak for myself. Coming up next, we'll check in on Lane Kiffin and also college football changing its format yet again. We've got some news for you, MVP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was a big weekend in the world of college football. Here's Maggie and Perloff's big moment on campus.
All right, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. Before we get to this week's big moment on campus, we have to take a look back to last week, Pearl. You'll remember someone turned a garbage can into a golf cart.
Would you want to drive a trash can, yes or no?
Yes. I mean, garbage day is Wednesday in Orlando, so Tuesday I bring the garbage out every night, two of those. I'd love to put a little motor on it, scoot down my driveway.
Montana State just got a 28-yard field goal. They've scored 17.
And the 2-2. Fan from Montana State had turned a trash can into some kind of vehicle and drove it onto the field. Gonna be tough to top.
We're still not 100% sure why, but
I love when people have hobbies.
Because why not? It's the FCS.
Feels like a long ago bygone era when people just had hobbies. But anyway, this week we take you to Death Valley. It was senior day, and Brian Kelly, the fired LSU coach, well, his son was still on the team. And his son had a message for his dad.
And one of those seniors is Brian Kelly's son. This is Kenzel Kelly coming out pregame. Pay special attention to that T-shirt he's got underneath his jersey.
Long live BK! Free my boy! Free my boy, BK! You know who?
You ever call your dad your boy?
No. Never did.
Yeah.
I'm here with my family.
Never thought to refer to a parent as that's my boy. But there we go. That's Kenzel Kelly on Senior Day shouting out his dad, Brian Kelly.
That's pretty cool. Have you followed any of the litigious stuff going on with him? It is. I actually am on his side on this one. I feel like LSU is like trying to defy all logic with the way they're treating Brian Kelly post-firing.
Yeah, they don't want to pay the buyout. So now they're saying that they never actually fired him. They never actually fired him, and now they want to go back and try to find a way to fire him for cause.
Free my boy, BK!
So then he now sued the school, Brian Kelly, BK, sued the school. And the latest thing, Pearl, this was Pete Thamel from yesterday, had a report that Brian Kelly is now alleging that all of this stuff being up in the air with LSU is preventing him from getting another job.
Free my boy, BK!
So even if they want it, he want to get another job to offset some of the money that they're going to very likely owe him. He can't do it because all of this legal stuff is hanging over him.
So, and they do have an offset like James Franklin. I'd imagine
there's like a mitigated language, right? Yeah. I believe so.
The funny thing is, I don't know if anyone else had this thought. Why would you just sit on that $50 million? Why do you want to go coach a lower tier D1?
Well, like, first, I'm wondering if he's looking at all these openings and saying, do I have to go coach a lower tier? Like maybe he's looking at, maybe he wants the, Auburn would be a little weird, but maybe he wants.
I mean, Auburn's a pain in the butt. I feel
maybe
like
he wants Cal. Maybe he wants UCLA. Maybe he wants to retire in, who else is open? Arkansas. I don't know.
Would you really
call your dad your boy?
No. I would just take the money in this case. Maybe wait.
Or how
wait
about this? Maybe he's alleging that this is not allowing him to get another job, and that's why they're going to owe him the full amount.
But I don't even think he needs to allege. Like, just give me the money. That's what I would say.
LSU does not want to give him the money. Yeah. That's how contentious this thing is.
And if I do like his team is just not having it at all. His legal team, right. The people around him are just like, yep, no, we want the money. He's not playing games with them. And we know a lot about the LSU because the governor gave that speech about where's the money going to come from? Well, I guess you have money reportedly for Lane Kiffin, but you don't have money for Brian Kelly. Just pay the money, get this thing over with. I don't know why Brian Kelly would take it at least a year to enjoy the money. Why would you go to UCLA or Arkansas?
I don't know.
Get your butt kicked for a year?
I don't know. There's just a lot of openings right now, and this is going to be an expensive coaching cycle. But it is true. There are like so many mysteries in this world, you know, Bigfoot, who shot JFK, like
Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, stuff like that. And also, does LSU have any money? It seems like it should be right up there because every day, Pearl, you hear something different. Yeah. We talked to our guy, Matt Moscona, down at LSU, Locked On Tigers. He's like, we don't exactly have this kind of money in the couch cushions. But then you realize that, you know, they could be preparing a $100 million contract for Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, Joe Klatt said they were, if not number one, two or three in how much money they had to offer a coach.
Pay Brian Kelly to go away then.
Fox's lead broadcaster. Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand why wouldn't they have the money? I am not quite sure. Why wouldn't Ole Miss have the money? We'll get into Lane Kiffin later, but I don't understand how colleges get the money for all of this, but they boosters sure seem to like to give money to these programs.
I know, like at least with Texas A&M, they played that insane buyout to Jimbo Fisher, right? $70+ million. They owned it. They didn't try to get the money back. They didn't try to sue them.
They got oil money up, or you know what, down there.
No,
so they have tons of money.
They just
but
owned it.
I think LSU has that oil money too. Isn't there oil near Louisiana? I hate to be so ignorant, but I imagine there is some rich person who could deal with this and just have it be done.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. There you go. Kenzel Kelly, your new big man on campus in the Maggie Pearl Show. Coming up next, we had a fight after the game last night. What?
You ever call your dad your boy?
No.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller. the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.